Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, a couple of thoughts on the NFL front to get to before we get back into the Andrew Burnett Predators discussion. Number one, add Chris Canty to the list of people who believe Travis Hunter is a wide receiver in the NFL. I heard him talking on Sportsmanlike this morning. He says Travis Hunter, he would have him as a wide receiver, and he would have some sub-packages on defense for him to be a corner on occasion, but would draft him as a touchdown scorer, a wide receiver. So the debate rages on, Joe Rex Road, as to which position is best for Travis Hunter in the National Football League.
Well, all due respect to Chris Canty, Stilly, whoever, you know, I want to, when I add it up before the draft, and you know, people may change their minds before then, I'm gonna keep most of the draft like film analysts. Now I count TD in that. All due respect to hashtag Jared's film room, by the way, but I don't know that Canty makes the cut, but maybe that's just because he disagrees with me.
No, could be. Some more NFL news. Joe, it came out yesterday. I think Diana Russini reported this, that the Green Bay Packers were the lone team trying to get rid of the tush push in the NFL. They're fighting the good fight to get rid of this play and the ridiculousness of the tush push when you got Washington Commanders jumping five times in a row, offsides, flying over the top of the offensive line. What did you make of apparently the Green Bay Packers and their resistance to the tush push around the NFL?
I don't know. Are they the lone team, or are they're just the team that submitted?
They're the team that submitted. I'm sure they're not alone. Yes.
Yeah. They're the your Green Bay Packers are the courageous ones fighting the good fight. Yeah, I think I'm on that. Yeah, it's again, I go back to 20 years ago, the absolute screaming, especially from Notre Dame fans. I know it's college football versus pro football, but I remember being like, yeah, that does seem unfair, right? He can go in there and push the guy from behind and get the winning touchdown. That was Reggie Bush pushing Matt Leinart.
Yes.
At Notre Dame. We've gotten to the point where it's just, I think it's a more dangerous play than, I don't know that we've had a lot of injuries, but man, talk about, you know, old school, like, you know, 1893 football that Teddy Roosevelt tried to outlaw. And I agree with someone who I think tweeted this yesterday, like, what skills involved in this? I understand, like, football is a power sport too, so what skills involved in a fullback dive? But it just doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem fair. And I know that, like, Eagles fans in particular would just scream at this, but, like, it's a guaranteed first down for them every time they have a yard to go. There's nothing you can do about it, really, other than, like,
jump over top of a pile?
I guess if you get leverage, but that obviously never happens. And then you had the rant about the situation at the goal line in the playoff game. And I do that to me did bring up, like, can we just get rid of this? Like, I just think pulling is not allowed, why is pushing allowed? You know, philosophically, if you're not allowed to pull someone past the first down, because I think honestly, you talk about a dangerous play. I think one of the dangerous plays in football is when you have a ball carrier right at that first down line and a tackler, and they're struggling, and then, like, the tight end comes in and just blasts them from behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's dangerous. So I think that I'm on Team Packers here.
I'm interested to see where it goes. Like you said, you know, Philadelphia fans are going to freak out if it happens. It's not really like any other play in football, right? Like, it's basically a rugby scrum is what it is. Like, that's basically what it is. And it's like, okay, like, look, I don't fault the Eagles for doing it. Like, until it's against the rules, I would do it, right? Like, and look, now other teams have started to do it. Like, Some teams do it and don't use their quarterback, which is also interesting. Like the Lions do it with LaPorta, and the Packers do it with Tucker Kraft. So, like, they've got tight ends doing it now, which is interesting. But, like, you know, it's just not like any other play in the league. And like you said, it doesn't seem to be the greatest for player safety. Like, you just got guys being pushed from behind. You got basically like a dog pile that just everybody goes straight to the ground, and you're trying to get leverage on the tush push. It's just a weird thing. I mean, you had Chris Jones in the Super Bowl, like basically lining up sideways to try to defend it. It was just really weird.
Yeah, Dylan says, don't let them get into position to do it. If you can't stop the opposing team, that's on you. Stop babying the game. Okay, well, that's fine, but I say it's cheating. So if someone's cheating and I don't like them cheating, I want the cheating to stop. Am I babying the game? Yeah, I think it's, again, why do we...
Well, and by the way, stopping teams from getting in short yardage situations throughout a game is not realistic. Like, you're not stopping teams from having a few situations in a game where it's third and one or fourth and one.
Right. Teams get 20 first downs a game, Dylan. So, I mean, you know, both teams are going to like gain yardage and get first downs. And both teams are going to have short yardage situations. If you're not allowed to pull guys, why are you allowed to push them?
Yeah, that's the part. I mean, I heard like LeVar Arrington talking about this, and he was like, you know, in my day, you didn't do this. Like, this was not even thought of, and you weren't allowed.
Right.
So, like, when have we – why have we all of a sudden become allowed to just start – pushing people who are carrying the ball?
Right. Like, it was like, again, 20 years ago, college football, but that what happened on that play was highly controversial. Like, of course you can't do that. What are we talking about? You can't do that. Of course you can't. And it is contrary to player safety, allowing someone to come into a situation and, you know, with full momentum and blast into, sometimes they blast into their own player's back, but blast into people is absolutely not a player safety friendly thing.
Well, quite frankly, like, as a football viewing fan, like, I don't really want to watch a tush push 9 times a game, right? Like, in every short yardage situation, I don't want to just be like, all right, here they go. They're about to all dog pile in the middle, and they'll probably pick up the first down. Like, it's not a very exciting play either.
Right. Like, it's been, you know, it's kind of a fascination when it started, and then other teams started doing it. I do like that you have seen some counters off it, right? Where, you know, where all of a sudden you'll have a little play action or you'll do something different. Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, I think the fundamental just question of whether it should be allowed or not, I guess I'm a Packers fan with you.
Yeah.
Count me as a Packers fan.
Picking them all up. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll get back into the Predators and Andrew Brunette discussion coming up next. It is also time for Preds Pick to Click here on the program. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal score for tonight's game, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Preds Pick to Click on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Florida Panthers. The standings in the Pick to Click competition. Rex Road remaining in first place with 11 correct answers. Listeners in sole possession of second place with 8. I have 7. Keezer has 4. That's where the competition stands as we enter into the stretch run of the regular season here. With that in mind, let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Casey to the program. Casey, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, fellas. Let's go with the captain.
Going with Roman Josi. Casey, thanks for the call. So
Josi,
the selection. Keezer, you're up first in the competition. Yossi's off the board.
All right. I'll go with one Steven Stamkos, who's on his longest current goal drought. So I'm going to see him break the streak later on this evening.
Rex Road, Josi, Stamkos, off the board.
He will be moved soon. He's got to get on the board, show people what they want. Gus Nyquist.
So going with Nyquist, I will take Philip Forsberg. So I'll go Forsberg in the four hole, which doesn't happen very often, but that's what I'm going with
No.
tonight. Josi, Stamkos, Nyquist, and Forsberg. the selections in Preds Pick to Click. Joey had a lot of thoughts on this earlier, so let's get back into the Andrew Burnett discussion. So we know this Predator season is not going anywhere. They're not going to approach the playoffs. Right now they're 30th in the league. And as things stand today, are in a pretty good spot to end up with a high pick in the draft. Now, it's a lottery system in the NHL. So, you know, just because they may finish 30th, they may not end up with the third overall pick. We'll see how that ends up working out from a lottery standpoint. Regardless, like, you know, you got to get through the trade deadline here, which is coming up next week. And then it's going to be, how do you fix this moving forward? Like, what's the path for this team returning to being a competitive hockey team next year when we all thought that's what they were going to be this year? And it's just been a disaster basically from the opening puck drop of this year until now. I mean, some of the same things that we were talking about with the 0-5 start, Joe, we're talking about right now. They're not a very good defensive team. The goaltending at times has been a struggle this year for them. Offensively, outside of a stretch in, you know, early January, probably until about the end of that month where they were pretty good offensively, by and large, on the whole, they've been a bad offensive team this year. When you combine all those things together, that's how you end up as the 30th team in the league. So, having said that, what's the path forward? And is Andrew Burnett a part of it? I think that's the first big decision that the Predators are going to have to make this offseason. Is Andrew Burnett your coach next season? Now, we had this discussion in November. You know, I felt like at the time that Burnett, having proved himself with 1 year with the Panthers, albeit with a very talented roster, but doing a good job of navigating them through a very tough situation with Joel Quenneville being let go. They won the President's Trophy that year, and they got swept in the second round by Tampa Bay. Now, Florida made the decision to move on from him after that and hire Paul Maurice. Obviously, that has worked out very well for the Florida Panthers. Paul Maurice is a Hall of Fame coach. Predators last year got off to a rough start, and I thought Burnett did an outstanding job navigating them through the second half of the season, the run that they went on, and you felt good about him heading into this year. I didn't think it made a whole lot of sense to fire him in November. I thought that would have been very reactionary. However, we're now almost a full season into this where it's been a disaster from start to finish. So how do you view Burnett and where things stand for him right now as the Predators are getting close to the last 25 games or so of the season?
I think we probably knew this was coming unless there was some incredible turnaround, which we did entertain, I guess, briefly a couple times this season. But once you got through there was a real feeling about, you know, this may be one of those in-season firings and this may be it for him. A couple months into the season, that passed. So you figured, I mean, at the time we talked about it, okay, so then there may be a decision, you know, at the end of next year. Or, you know, we've talked about the real possibility of Burnett getting that third year, but being one of those guys early next season where it's like, I mean, the hot seat list come out and he's 1, 2, or 3, right? I don't have the entire league in my mind right now in terms of who would be on that list next year, but he'd have a real shot at number one.
Yeah.
Right? But now you get into this slog, this absolute death march to the finish of this season, and it's something that absolutely has to be entertained. It's fair. You know, someone said on the text line earlier, because I guess I tend to, you know, play devil's advocate on behalf of Burnett. Someone said on the text line earlier, you know, why did Florida move away from him? But, you know, again, it was like that was a team built to win right then. This is a first-time head coach who, of course, was thrust into that role because of all the stuff with Joel Quenneville and Kyle Beach, all the stuff from before. And they wanted a coach who had demonstrated a high level of winning. They got one, and obviously it's worked out pretty well for them. You know, but that I don't think that's as much a reflection on Burnett as some people want to make it. And I think you and I both agree. We've talked about it. Like, I think Brunette's a really smart guy, good with people, good coach. But that's this league fires coaches and recycles coaches, yep, like no other. And I gotta think I'll go 50-50 right now. And the only reason I'm 50 on no is just because of Barry Trotz, because Barry Trotz does come at things with a coach's perspective. does understand the challenges a coach goes through, I'm sure is looking in the mirror and raising his hand and saying, a lot of these issues are what I've done. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, there's some serious questions about what has happened with the building of this roster. Yes, Alex Doherty said earlier, like he's been able to retain a lot of things, which is important, but this UC Saros deal, for example, could be tons of pain ahead and other deals as well.
So where do you come down on the Predators and Andrew Brunet? Give us a call, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our text line as well. What does the future look like for Brunet? What does the future look like for the Nashville Predators as they try to navigate through the rest of what has been a disastrous season to this point and try to fix it heading into next year? We'll have more on that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Winnipeg Jets at Bridgestone Arena this Thursday night. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Jets this Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Discussing the future of Andrew Brunet and the Nashville Predators. Where will this go at the end of the year? Will Brunet be the coach for the Predators next year? Will Barry Trotz make a change this offseason? And Joe, here's kind of where I come down on it as we sit here today on February 25th. My opinion on Brunet has not really changed all that much from what it was earlier this year. Like, I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a good young coach. I think that, he's eventually got the chance to be a pretty darn good coach in this league. Having said that, I also realize that good coaches in the National Hockey League get fired all the time. Like, this is a sport where, number one, they recycle through a lot of coaches, and number two, it's got a lot of coaching movement. I mean, we've seen that already this year. The thing that really bothers me about how this has played out and what I do not think helps Brunet in this discussion is a couple things. Number one, I think at some point throughout the course of a year, when it's spiraling the way that it has with the Predators, I think you have to show that you can fix it. Like, you're the guy that can be the guy that fixes it next year. And I just don't feel that much different about watching them right now than I have really at any other point this season, which is, yeah, they got flashes here or there where they look good and they do the right things. But by and large, like, we're watching the same team that we've been watching all year. It's been 56 games of just – it just looks dysfunctional at times out there. Their offense can't score. Their defense, and albeit they've shuffled some things around on defense, and they've had some injuries on defense. Their defense right now is bad. Like, they're a bad defensive team. And it just kind of feels like there hasn't really been answers that they've been able to find to that this year. So I think, number one, throughout the course of a year, you got to be able to come up with some adjustments and some changes to fix what we're seeing. And look, he has adjusted. They moved Stamkos to center. I thought that helped offensively for a while. They've tried to tweak some things with the way that they run their system. He's talked about trying to simplify some things with his forwards. You know, they've tried to do some things. The problem is, Joe, I mean, very little of it's worked. So what does that mean heading into next offseason? And the other part of it is this. Like, you look at everybody, particularly all the veteran players, all of them are having down years. Every one of them. O'Reilly's having a down year. Forsberg's having a down year. Yossi, Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea. I mean, go up down the list of their guys. Nyquist. They're having bad years, down years. You know, is Forsberg having a bad year? No, but he's not having the year that I think that we expected from him heading into this season. So, and then you look at the young guys. They've got some promising young players. Like, I like a lot of what Svechkov has done. You know, I think Svechkov lately has kind of fallen off a little bit. But you expect that a little bit with some young players. LaRue, I think, has had some nice moments this year. But, like, Evangelista, like, I felt like this was a really important year for Evangelista. And he's been bad. Like, he's been bad all year long this year. Novak, we talked about him heading into the year. Like, he was going to be a really key piece of this. And he hadn't been able to handle it. Now, is that on the coach or is that on kind of the role that they thrust him in earlier this year. We can have that discussion. Point is, there's not really one thing right now, Joe, that you could look at with this team and say, yeah, I feel great about the direction that that's heading right now. And that, to me, is where you get into some trouble as a coach.
Yeah. And look, we all can agree, like I said last segment, there's a lot of the whole, all of this stuff. It's coach and GM. But the GM is going to make the decision on the coach. And I think a couple key points from our earlier conversation with Alex Doherty, which people can check that out on the app. It was a good conversation. A couple things that I really took away from it. One, a reiteration of ownership's satisfaction with Trotz. I think that's an important, in case anybody wants to get into it, it's just not a, it's not an either or conversation. It's not even close to that, right? So there's that. And again, I think Trotz is absolutely culpable for some things here, but he's making the decision on the coach. And Doherty also brought up the tactics as being a big thing here. And there have been glimpses of guys in the locker room, I think, with some frustration, maybe the Stamkos thing from earlier in the year, right? Different way of playing and some guys struggle to adjust and all those things. And a good point by him, you know, this isn't just straight up Joel Quenneville's system replicated. It is a blending of things. And look, it's just not working. And frankly, like last year, so much of it was about that too. And then they caught fire. And then you're like, okay, well, they've got it and they're going to carry it into next year. And then Trotz adds those guys. You're like, well, shoot. Now you got big time studs, veterans. And what is that going to mean? Wow, what a season. And we all know what's happened. This texture, I think, is interesting. He says, unnamed texture, I think it's honestly just the marriage between roster and coach. Unless Trotz is going to bring a specific type of player Bruno needs, you have to move off of him. With the moves that he's made that you can't erase, you have to go get a coach that can coach the roster built now. There isn't one player that's going to change what this is now. Offense, defense, and goalie play is all bad. I think there's some truth to that. I think it's you have to bring in, you have to think about the roster, which you're largely locked into, and what's the ideal coach. And if Brunette can't, like you said, demonstrate that he can fix this, can change things significantly with this roster, then it's hard to make the argument for him after this season.
Yeah, and again, like, Barry Trotz, I don't think is blameless in this discussion, right? Like, there have been some decisions that he's made that are questionable as they move forward here. The Saros contract being one of them. We'll see what that ends up looking like, how that plays out. You know, a lot of Predators fans are mad with the way that they've handled, like, your Tomasinos and your Parsonens and those guys of the world. You know, I don't know that any one of those guys is going to break loose anywhere else and be like some can't-miss superstar player, but I understand you want more production from young guys as they move forward here. You know, on the Trotz front, I said it earlier, I'll repeat it now. Like, I'm not going to sit here today on February the 25th and act like I didn't think Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea were all great moves at the time, because I did. You know, like, so did we just all totally miss on that? Are they all getting old and falling off the cliff at the same time? Or is that a reflection of what we're talking about right now, and it's just not a good fit with the system? And if you go out and you hire a different coach, like, does Steven Stamkos look more like Steven Stamkos next year? Does Marchessault, and like, the biggest one to me right now is Brady Shea. They gave Brady Shea a 7-year deal and paid him a ton of money. And right now he looks like, I mean, he looks awful out there. He's been bad for the majority of this season. You know, Stamkos is on a 9-game point drought right now. That's concerning. You know, we've seen moments this year of Stamkos being pretty darn good and playing well. So does a new coach fix all that? Like, if you bring in another coach that you feel like is more suited his style to the way these guys need to play, are they competitive next year? Or, Joe, is it as simple as it doesn't really matter who the coach is? These guys have just fallen off, and this is a bad roster composition from the standpoint of the age of your core forwards specifically.
Yeah, well, if that's the case and they move on from Brunette, and they bring in a new coach, and that proves to be the case, well, then the conversation about Trotz heats up quickly, right? I mean,
yes.
And I'm with you. I raised my hand. I just like everybody now, like, it was very exciting, but that's why we are perpetrators of radio gas baggery and not people who get paid millions to put together a hockey team, right? I mean, you know, that's just so. If you move on, bring in somebody totally different, and the same problems are there, then, I mean, you think you've got your answer. That probably also helps Brunette get his next job too.
I think their biggest problem right now, to me, is just pretty easy to identify. Like, I think they need a world of help at center, and that's unfortunately probably the hardest thing to find in this league, is help at the center position. Like, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, I still think, is a good player. Ryan O'Reilly, at this stage of his career, is not a number one center in the National Hockey League. And he's had a down year offensively as well. I still like a lot of what O'Reilly brings to the table. But Ryan O'Reilly, at this stage in his career, is not a number one. They tried to make Novak the number two heading into the year, and didn't work. You know, Stamkos has been, you know, for a large portion of the season, their number one guy. They've moved him back to wing recently, and they put Svechkov up there. Like, I still think probably long-term they want Stamkos on the wing. Problem is, you got to find some answers at center, and unfortunately, Joe, that has been the most difficult thing for them to find in the history of their franchise. You know, we got this text earlier, and maybe it ends up working out this way. I don't know. Like, we're still a long way away from the draft lottery and the draft, but, like, if you walk out of this – and you get one of those two centermen that I've talked about in the draft, either Misa or Hagans. Like, in the long run, is this year worth it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Like, depends on how good those guys are. Maybe. But that doesn't really help you a whole lot in the short term right now when you're trying to maximize what this roster is with Stamkos and Marchessault and their age.
Right. And if you're Brunette, I don't know. I don't know what the answer would be for you in terms of keeping this job, other than you got to play better. You got to win. You got to show the ability to get this team to play even when everybody knows this season's over, and you got to win. But obviously that's contrary at this point to the best interest of the franchise.
615. So. Yeah. Like, it's, that's the thing. And look, we've talked about this too, Joe. The players in that room don't care about that. Like, Ryan O'Reilly,
oh yeah,
and Forsberg, no, and Stamkos, they do not care about, you know, trying to nail down a top three pick this year. I understand that. But, like, organizationally at this point, like, if you're Barry Trotz, I do care about that. Like, if I'm Barry Trotz right now, that's exactly what I care about the rest of this year. So you got two things right now that kind of are at odds with each other.
Real quick, Ryan O'Reilly also is a guy who they could be last place and it could be the last game of the season, and he will block a puck with his face,
yeah,
and then blame his teeth for the fact that they broke.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, he'll be that guy. You know that. How many other guys are going to sell out to win the rest of the year?
Well, I think that's an important thing to find out, and very interested here in the next week and a half to see who's on the move and who stays at the deadline. I'm interested to see how active the Predators end up being. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Preds. Wrap up the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's from Barrio Burrito Bar in Murfreesboro. At Barrio Burrito Bar, every bite, a celebration of fresh ingredients, vibrant spices, and bold flavors dancing on your taste buds like a fiesta in your mouth. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking Preds, taking your thoughts on that. Andrew on the text line says, if you had to guess behind closed doors, what is Brunette saying to Barry Trotz about why this has failed? I don't know. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was going to say, it's a daily discussion, right? It's a daily discussion. Every game, every shift. I mean, and I'm sure there's been plenty of discussion between those two about this player or that player, what's going on, you know. And I'm sure they're in lockstep and on the same page on things, largely. But that doesn't mean that Trotz doesn't have to make a tough decision when the season's over.
Right. Like, look, there are sometimes you put teams together and it doesn't work, right? Like we've seen that. Sometimes for whatever reason, the composition of your roster, players don't fit together. I mean, it could be some of that, right? It's gone so poorly that it's hard for me to believe, Joe, that it's just one thing. Like
exactly,
it's very, and that's what I think makes it so complicated to figure out moving forward is. Like I think there are some Predators fans that believe it's just the coach. Like if you just fire Andrew Burnett and you bring in another coach, that all your problems are magically going to be solved. And I don't believe that. Like, do I think that firing Andrew Burnett this season may be something that has to be done? Yeah, I think you might have to do that. And you might have to go take a shot with somebody else to see if a new coach, a new system, new way of thinking can unlock some things. I also look at this roster right now, and I'm worried to death if I'm a Predators fan that these guys have just gotten old and they're kind of stuck in limbo right now of waiting for that next crop to come up. And in the meantime, these guys are not good enough to get the job done anymore. Like, I think there's probably some of that that's going on too. So that's what makes it so tough to figure out as they move forward here is they got a lot of things to figure out as to why it went as poorly as it did this year. And I don't believe it's just the coach. Now, when it's been 56 games of this, Joe, is the coach part of it? Yeah. Like, I don't think you can defend that anymore. Like, he has not done a good job this year. There's no other way to slice it. Like, he's not done a good job, and it may end up costing him his job at the end of the year.
Absolutely. You know, another big picture thing, which we can take this to previous coaches. As someone on the text line is pointing out, by the way, John Hines got blamed for anything, and now John Hines doing all right with the Wild.
Yeah.
So what's that mean? But also, look at – not that Elie Tolvin set the world on fire, but he goes somewhere else, it's better for him. Tomasino goes somewhere else, better for – you know, like there have been a lot of guys who have been underwhelming here, come in under their supposed talent level, and then go somewhere else and look better. Why is that?
Yeah, it's something you got to get to the bottom of. I don't know what the answer to that is. And it's not every time, but it has happened a lot recently. Look, even guys coming in, right? Like, I gave some grace for this group for a while. Like, I thought even heading into the year, it'd probably take Stamkos and Marchessault some time to figure things out. Stamkos a year ago, Joe, was a 40-goal scorer and an 80-point player, and he's been a 40-goal scorer basically his entire career, and he's just not going to approach that this year. Like, do I believe that Steven Stamkos has fallen off that sharply in 1 year? No, I don't. So you got to get that part of it figured out somehow, some way, as you move forward. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if it's as simple as the coach, but that's where they're at the end of this season. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Kuharski will be with us tomorrow on the show. Everybody have a great rest of your day. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.